I've always been a soap opera fanatic, and I passionately believe, in fact, I know that some of the best acting can be found on soap operas, so I've been furious that the talented stars of daytime TV don't get the same respect as primetime stars. And you said that doing a daytime soap is the most difficult media that you've worked in. So can you comment on what I've been talking about?
Well, first of all, you have to be able to accept changes immediately. And you have to know your learning lines all the time. And with the cutbacks and expenses and then the cost of production today, it's called you have to get out there, you have to perform, and hope you get it in one take. The fooling around and experimenting and that sort of thing with a scene is now, I mean, so cost prohibited that you do a lot of homework at home. You work with the person you're in the scene with on in your dressing room, and then bing, you hit the stage running, and you do it so that the production moves right along. But you have to be able to think fast, react fast, and be able to pick up something when, say, your partner in your scene or the couple or three people, you have to be able to pick that scene up and you're on your own, you know, and we're a stage. It's like stage. It's a great deal like live theater, only it has its own guidelines.
Well,
so it takes a lot out of an actor because you're doing it every single day and you're creating this other person, which most of us are two people anyway.
Absolutely.
As an actor, you accept it and you get to vent a lot of life's own problems through the character you're playing. So it's almost like a psychology.
Absolutely.
You've gone to your psychologist and gotten rid of your anger, your love, your tears, your laughter, and it keeps you sort of current with yourself all the time.
Now, your book is so interesting because you went through so many changes.
Oh, at my age.
Well, you're 83 years young, and you're so dynamic, so you're a role model for all of us. Now, you hadn't thought about TV, but David Janssen, who later went on to star in The Fugitive, told you you should consider TV. What did he say?
Well, we were on the back lot one day having lunch. We had the lunch prepared, and we went to the back lot, Universal. And we were having lunch in the back street. I think it was Mexican Street, where a little town in Mexico was beautifully done in the back lot. And we're sitting there, and then he looks up on top of the hill, which is, at that time, there were no buildings or what have you. And you saw these little reflectors just moving along like mad. And I'm so fast, it was like running from the law. And he just said, there it is, that's where it's at. I said, what? He said, look, just watch. He said, there it is. TV is where it's at. You're going to reach millions in one day.
Wow.
I said, yeah, my God, you're right. And we both then sort of changed our minds about what we wanted. The only movie he ever really wanted to do was Clark Gable, of course, which they had cast somebody else. And that broke his heart because he just absolutely knew Clark Gable's life backwards and forwards, and he wanted to portray it. And outside of that, his mainstay was television, and he was absolutely right.
Now, I thought that your introduction to the world of television was hilarious, because tell our listeners about the adventures of Kit Carson and what that involved. I mean, my goodness.
In those days, those of us who were in the beginning of the golden age, what we call the golden age of television, I mean, you ride out of town, you do three shows at once when you join the Kit Carsons. And everybody who ever did one, we can all relate to anything the other person says. You would be Louise, and you ride out of town. Louise, the housewife, you ride out of town in the stagecoach. And then on the other side, you change costumes, and you come in as... Ellen, the dance hall queen, and you change her cloak because you have to do all get these, all of these out of sequence, of course. And then you change clothes and you ride out of town as, I don't know, Martha the school marm. It was hysterical. It was hysterical, like you're putting a jigsaw puzzle together. But it was, you know, you just change costumes and do the, if you're in a certain living room, you're in that living room for all the shows, or the dance hall. It didn't matter. Hysterical.
I love it. Now, let's fast forward to The Young and Restless. You joined the cast in its debut season in 1973, and the producers were so anxious for you to play the new character of Catherine Chandler. Didn't they have to jump through hoops to get you to sign on?
Oh, dear. I had been, Kiki Stevens, a dear friend, said, Gina, you know, because she had done daytime, and she was going to eventually do our show. She said, Jean, you know that you don't like to stay with one role too long, and you are having to be the same person for as long as you do that role. And she said, I think you just might get bored to tears. So, yeah, I would think about it twice. And we took the kids, and they took a friend. We all went to Hawaii, and there's justification. And they called and they wanted me to do the part. And I said, well, give me some time. And I bundled the kids up and I said, okay, kids, we're going to Maui. They said, oh, okay, we just got you. All right. And I got the call in Maui. And I said, give me a couple of days. And I bundled the kids up and I said, quick, let's get out of here. Let's go to Kauai. So in Kauai, finally, John Convoy said, look, we need an answer. We need an answer. And I said, well, okay, I'll try it for maybe a year. Oh, why? Well, when do I have to be there? He said, tomorrow. I said, you are kidding me. He said, yes, we read through, and the next day we start taping. So I bumped all the kids up and took the red eye home. And the next morning at... I knew, 10 o'clock, I was in Y&R, full-fledged, full, ready to go, and exhausted, because it took, I wanted to do it, but yet I didn't want to do it, and I said, okay, we'll give this a shot for a year.
And guess what, almost 40 years later.
39 years, 30, almost 40, 40 years later.
What was her character originally described, and how has she evolved, and what do you most admire about Catherine?
Catherine? I admire her strength. Of course, she's, you know, everything she does. I taught her everything she knows.
That's true.
But it's marvelous to see it displayed before you. You know, you can experiment with life. After all, life is not a dress rehearsal. You've got one shot at it, and you had better, you know, to play in the box is to deny yourself, I think, of so many, many wondrous things that are offered in life. And I know there's circumstances. And my God, I've been through them. Catherine has been through them. Through Catherine, I've learned a lot, but by the same token, I was teaching myself, and I could see on screen exactly where something may lie within me that was a problem. And so consequently, I sort of was able to give myself the strength and say, hey, that's solvable, that's doable. And somehow, the one thing that I gave her, which is so true to life, because it's worked for me, is that you've got to find the beauty in this life. You've got to keep your heart. You've got to keep at least a half a tank of heartfelt emotions, good emotions about yourself, about the world you live in. There are so many things, television takes you down such dark sides at times that, you know, I mean, that's discouraging. But I'm talking about get up and see the sunrise.
Absolutely.
Think about it. Think about it. Watch the sunset. Think about it. The beauty of it. Really? You know, you take a flower that you've seen all your life, but all of a sudden you begin to see it through new eyes. because it motivates you. It gives you beauty. You take it. You don't accept it just as a flower that opens up and looks gorgeous. It's meant to please you.
You know, Jean, I think that that's what's helped you, seeing everything as a glass being half full, helped you through, you know, a disastrous marriage.
Oh, yes.
Some love affairs, everything else that people have to go through life and overcome. One of the things that I think I learned from your book, which is so interesting, was how innovative The Young and Restless was in the way it was presented, because really, you said it was the first reality show and it had the most innovative sets.
Yes, well, it changed the face of daytime. You know, before soap operas, if you had an apartment, it was a black curtain, a club chair, and a lamp, or a kitchen sink, and lights. And this gave you a full-on look at your living room, your kitchen, your this. It was a small movie every day. My set was the most expensive set made for television 39 years ago. And it cost $175,000.
Wow.
And boy, I want to tell you, that was a budget for shows back then. And you know, fresh flowers always on. Otherwise, it made ordinary problems not look so tough, because it had it's always better if you have a problem, and everybody does. But I want to tell you, to have a problem and have money is better than having no money whatsoever and having that problem.
Boy, is that right.
So the people who were less fortunate than Catherine, when she's going through her problems, which they identify with, would say, and then Catherine overcame them, that had nothing to do with her money. That's when people picked up on the fact that if you really dig deep and go through hell at times, there's so much brighter on the other side, and there is another side. And I think this is what brought a lot of people to my support, and knowing that I understood those problems,
you know,
that it's going to be okay. The thing of it is if you condemn yourself, no one else can condemn you except yourself. You know that.
Boy.
And
you're right on target. Now, I wanted to ask you, because you are 83 years old, young.
I just turned 84 on the 25th.
All right. Well, then you're another year young. That's good. So what do you attribute your energy and your vitality, because it flows through your book?
My love of this planet we live on. My absolute amazement that such beauty is placed around us, and we have such horrendous stuff going on with countries killing and slaughtering and that sort of thing. And I'm aware of that. But the point of it is, I know there's hope. I know one day that too shall solve itself. And the only peace you ever receive in this life, and I say it from experience, is when you feel comfortable in your own skin, that you look at yourself in the mirror and say, it may not be the most beautiful thing, but my inside, no one knows the difference. I am worthwhile.
That's actress Jean Cooper in conversation with Carol Marks here on A Touch of Grey. And she, of course, is best known for her portrayal of Catherine Chancellor on the daytime soap opera The Young and the Restless. And the new book that she's written, her autobiography, is titled Not Young, Still Restless, a memoir, published by HarperCollins. Thank you, Carol Marks. Excellent job on that interview. Coming up later in the program, Steve Wiseman is going to be talking about a number of Social Security scams that you should avoid. And we'll also be joined by Kevin Casey talking about the media. That's next when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.